Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5.
We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach.
From anywhere in the world on KX93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps.
But right now,
here's that podcast from KX93.5. Hey, Tommy J.
Autumn May, welcome in on a nice breezy day here, and you brought some guests with you.
I did. What do you think of that? So right here in front of us is Ron Kobayashi.
Yes, thank
and
you.
He is a jazz musician right here in Orange County. He's a composer. He's performed in a variety of with musical artists. You could start naming names if you wanted to, but also next to him is John Huizenstam. He's a father of four children, all of which I know and watch being raised at my beach.
Johnny Malibu.
Johnny Malibu, one of the original surf punks. Welcome to both of you. I'm so happy to have you right here on Radio Neighborin'.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
And what in the heck are you two up here? I mean, you know we're genre jumping right now.
Yeah.
Autumn May is doing jazz today, and I asked them to please just school me, because last night, Wikipedia has a lot. I read about it, about jazz. It's an American music form.
Yeah, it really is. It's America's contribution to art and culture throughout the world.
And where did it start?
You know, really, here in New Orleans, in this country, is kind of where it came together at the very beginning. And it just expanded through the swing era and through bebop and cool and then fusion, which is the genre I think that we kind of are involved in here. But it's been, you know, for the past over 100 years, been this music that has been improvisational at its core, which makes it American because we're all improvisers.
And where? What culture brought jazz to New Orleans?
Well, you know, African-American culture primarily, but mixed with a lot of European instruments. So a lot of African-American tonalities and harmonies mixed in with European instruments like piano, guitar, saxophone, trumpet. And so that mixture combined to, you know, create this wonderful art jazz.
And then in your collaboration, who is this famous drummer that's with you, Baba?
He's a bass player, Baba Elefante.
Oh, bass player. Yeah, and he brings a whole nother segment of jazz. Is that more Cuban? Is it?
Well, the drummer's the guy that establishes the feel of the music, right? And in jazz, we have several styles, you know, funky, swing, Cuban or Latin, you know? And Leo Vigil, our drummer, who actually is the spearhead of our project, he can play just about anything well. So that's what makes it really enjoyable. So if we do a Latin tune, it's being played well. If we do a swing tune, it's being played well.
You know that's John Huizenstam over there. And can you tell? It's all going to go well.
It has to, or it's no fun, you know. And it starts with the rhythms. It starts with the beats, because that establishes the style. And it's up to the rest of the musicians to create something that's complementary, yeah.
Are you pretty proud of this? And how did you two? You two have known each other forever.
Well, actually, we've met through Leo Vigil, the drummer. Yeah, he's the guy that picked people and met people and said, you should meet him, you should meet him. And he kind of had an idea in his head that we should have a band or should record at least. And this is where it's going right now, yeah.
And John, would you consider yourself more of a jazz guitarist or a blues guitarist?
Well, since I'm primarily schizophrenic, I can't answer that.
You know, so am I and so am I.
Yeah.
And I am too.
You know, I started becoming a very serious jazz student when I was 16, but I come from a family of jazz musicians, so it wasn't like I didn't know about jazz, but I took up an interest and an interesting parallel to that is one of my uncles was a photographer, and he was taking a John Klemmer's album cover, an album jacket. And so he said, John, why don't you come with me to this recording session?
Wow.
And I was like 15 or 16 years old, so I got to meet Howard Roberts and all these great jazz guys. And that was it. From that moment on, I said, you know what? This is the scene I want to be in. These guys are such great musicians. I want to learn how to play the guitar like that.
And Ron, what was your moment when you were a kid?
I took classical lessons for 10 years. Piano lessons. Yeah, correct. And then I made the transition to jazz primarily because my dad used to play saxophone. They're from my, both my folks are from Hawaii, and my dad played saxophone in his youth, and so he always had jazz being played around the house when I was a kid. So I was always exposed to jazz, and so after having that classical training, I just kind of naturally made that, that transition to jazz.
And how'd your folks jazz feel about that?
They loved it because both of them love jazz. So fortunately, it worked out really well. And I still love classical, but I don't think I could play a note of it today. I haven't played it in 30 years.
It's and just you been teach jazz for the past jazz years. Piano at what?
I teach at the Orange County School of the Arts, OSHA, in Santa Ana, and I teach keyboard piano courses to the music theater kids and the commercial music. And commercial music is kind of the what we consider the more the pop rock school conservatory at OSHA. Now,
with you guys being jazz guys, what's your take on La La Land? That's kind of a jazz story.
Did you see it, John? Did you see La La Land?
I haven't seen
it. Yeah, I saw it. I play at a place called The Lighthouse, which is a legendary jazz
place. That's in the movie.
It's in the movie. And ever since the movie's release, the club is packed. So I just have to say I so honor the movie because it's done so much for jazz, at least locally. The club is absolutely packed since that
movie. You know, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. I saw that premiere last year in Telluride, and it was a favorite, that movie. But when folks are walking out, they were talking about the jazz.
Yeah.
And that and how it was featured and the kid wanting to play piano and that was his love and he didn't stick to it.
Yeah, it's done really a lot for jazz. So
good. I'm glad fantastic. To hear it. I'm happy to hear it. Well, let's feature some music. You know how I am. I have to have some music.
Well, there's two songs on that would be appropriate. You can take your pick. One's called Safe Passage. It's track number 4, and then the last track on is track 11. That's called Back on Earth. Either one of those would be a good starter so people can get an idea how Ron plays jazz and how I accompany him.
All right. So
the other way around.
All right. This is a good idea about you two playing
together. Yeah, we're here together to do this.
All right. Let's do it. This is Ron Huesenstam and
John Kobayashi.
What did I say? Anyway, here we go. that just sent me flying.
Jazz.
How
fusion.
About that? How's that sound for you?
Kicks, 93.5.
I'm grooving.
A lot of people, they don't know what that word fusion really represents, but my idea is it's like a rock musician's guitar being used in a jazz setting, and it gives the jazz a whole other kind of, because traditionally the jazz guitar is a very clear bell-like, sweet sound, and suddenly you've injected it with a, you know, a rock guitar,
power
and it
chords.
Takes the music into another kind of like dimension. Yeah, so you fuse jazz with rock,
right? And the rhythms of rock too.
Yeah.
So rhythmically,
you said you took this in one take to make this recording, and then you guys are improvising in the middle of it.
Yeah.
How do they know when you're ending, or how do you know?
Usually it's eye contact and the drummer, and you know you do it spontaneously with each other. You know, we look at each other and go, yeah, here it comes, one more bar, 1, 2, 3, 4, ending. You know, just do it intuitively. Yeah.
One of the things I want to say about this recording that I think it's so special is that it's really completely improvised, and in doing that, it makes it, I think, sound really organic, because it's really coming from exactly where the musicians, what we're feeling at that time, without any kind of preconceived notions of what to play, which I think is kind of risky, right, John?
Yeah. Well, but the bass player started playing a line, and I said, oh, I'm going to play that too, and I've got ears, right? I can figure out melodies really quickly. So I just start playing the same melody that the bass player is playing, an octave higher, right? And then we create that foundation. And then Ron's improvising with, you know, it was like a Hammond organ type sound.
Yeah.
And then we just go from there. And then the bass player makes a change, and I play a chord that sort of harmonizes, and I follow his lead. You were looking at each other. We might communicate verbally. I'm going down a half step. I'm going up a whole step. Here we go to F. You know, we just do it all spontaneously on the spot.
And this is you're not having a meeting before this. You aren't planning where this is going to go.
No, this is all completely, totally off the cuff.
Truly.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that what real jazz is?
Absolutely. That's the purest definition of jazz, right? And that it's totally improvisatory. I have a trio, you know, with Baba, who's also on this recording, and a guy named Steve Dixon, who's a drummer. And in that band, we do some free improvisation, but a lot of it is based kind of traditionally on jazz, where we base it on a tune that everybody knows. So we take a standard, maybe that Gershwin might have written, play the melody, improvise in the middle, and then restate the melody at the end. What's so exciting about this project is that it's improvised from beginning to end, which, again, is really the purest definition of jazz, right?
I'm a risk taker.
John Huizenstam's just out of his mind.
I'm a risk taker. I take risks.
No kidding. Anytime you're on the air, I'm taking a risk, because I know you're going to call me out, and you are just out there. You're just a genius, both of you, and I'm so delighted and learning. Learning that we can actually do this.
You know, I was just to not interrupt, but I used to be in the Denise Williams group.
Yeah.
And their management company managed like Miles Davis, Weather Report, you know, some of the big jazz names. And the road manager was Denise's manager. So I got to talk to this guy about these other groups, right? Because I was very young then and very enthusiastic about what was happening with these bands. And he told me that Miles Davis's concerts, they were either the worst concert you've ever been to or the best concert you've ever been to, because it was all risk-taking. They were all improvising. They were going for something. Nobody in the band knew where they were going to end up, and you'd either have a train wreck or it would be top of Mount Everest, you know?
Yeah. Well, if this was a train wreck, we wouldn't be sitting here today.
No,
you're pretty proud of this.
We're very
project.
Proud of this, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go into another song, whatever you want. You tell me. I know how to dial
track,
it in.
Track 11.
Track 11.
Yeah.
Right here on,
this is called Back on Earth.
Oh my gosh, you made it back.
You haven't made it yet, Tom. I'm just looking at you over there.
You got that fusion power.
I don't think John's on Earth. I don't think he's ever been really, really on Earth.
Yeah.
But,
time travel, space travel with
and we
fusion.
Go to some really deep places musically on this record, but this song sort of like brought us all, you know, back down, so that's why I called it Back on Earth. It's the last track.
Let's try it out. Right now, John Kobayashi, she.
Kobayashi!
God, and John Huizenstam. KX935 Radio Neighbor. We're so proud to have y'all on. Oh. it or not, you're listening to Radio Neighborhood.
A little jazz fusion with John Heusenstamm, Ron Kobayashi.
Listen to Tommy J.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Oh, that's so nice. They've given me permission to just say Ron and John, or if I wanted to, if Ida May was even in the room, and I don't know where she went. I'm Cindy O'Brien today.
We're into Ida.
Oh, you want Ida there? Oh,
yeah.
Then she's going to mispronounce your name. You're just going to have to get used to it.
Excuse me, this is a bit of a turn for you, doing jazz, right? How many jazz people come in to do interviews and stuff?
My heart's beating faster. This has really got me.
It's a new genre.
It's a whole new genre. Kind of excited about it. That was a beautiful tune.
Yeah, Ron's fantastic on that song.
It's just gorgeous. I have to confess,
right, the first time I played through this, I decided that I would go back, since I was the engineer, I would go back and I would make my guitar part very synonymous with what the bass player was doing. So if I would have been improvising totally from beginning to end, it wouldn't have had the solidity that it has now. Mm. So I went back and I created parts with the bass player, and I chose the chords, but a lot of the bass lines I replicated like I did on the other song, yeah.
Well, I think that's cool. Okay to admit. You know, you can't always.
But he improvised that bass part.
And I asked John, I said, are you writing new music? And he said, every song you're writing new music. And then I asked Ron, are you creating any whole new tracks of your own that the people are improvising on which they improvise?
I do write, and I haven't written in a while, but I enjoy writing. Again, back to this project, though, what is so interesting to me about doing this project with John is that every tune is this kind of organic creation. It's such an in-the-moment thing. It's really, here's what's happening with the other musicians are doing. What are you feeling?
Wow.
And, you know, again, no preconceived notions of, you know, do this. John never said, I want you to do this line here. I want you to play this chord. It was just kind of this freedom of, here's what it is. What do you feel?
What can you contribute?
Right, we're exactly. all musicians, and let's just communicate with...
Never repeated ever again. It's a one-time event, right?
It's a one-off.
And a few people that, we should really plug this now because why we're here.
Well, why don't we do that then? Because it's already 11:25.
Our group is called The Meeting, right?
Why was that?
Because Leo suggested that we call our group that because that's exactly what it is. We just meet and we play. So we're The Meeting. And we're The Meeting LA, just to make it possible to do this on the internet, right? So if you go to www.themeeting.la, you'll come to our website. Ooh. And you'll see our Kickstarter campaign that we started with this album in mind. And what do we have, 5 weeks for a Kickstarter campaign? And in the first week, we have 50% of the money that we're...
How many more weeks do you have to go?
Another month.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to do it.
Well, we're going to do it. Yeah.
I so believe in fundraising.
Jazz is going to win for once.
Yeah.
And do you guys play for bar mitzvahs and people's weddings and things, too?
Of course.
So where do they contact you for that? Same place?
Just go to www.themeeting.la.
And they can find you.
You can find us.
Bring you down to the beach for the party.
Yeah, all right. And you can book us for any jazz festival that you could think of from here to New York. And you better do it or we'll be disappointed.
And that's where you need to be.
That's where we need to be. Yeah.
You need to be at jazz festivals.
That's exactly right. That's what this whole thing is all about.
I'm going to call every jazz person I know. You know, they have a jazz festival in Telluride.
Ooh.
Oh, yes, they do.
They do. They have a beautiful, and it's all outdoors. You'd love it.
I bet.
I'm gonna sit.
No skiing until the festival's over, though.
No
skiing until the festival's over, so nobody breaks a leg before we get on the stage.
No, it's midsummer. There's no skiing unless you're a fool and get way up there high.
Well, there's a bike riding though. There's a mountain bike riding up there.
Yeah,
in the
lots
summertime.
Of hiking too.
Yeah.
No mountain bike riding until the concert's over.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the rules. So get to some festivals. So this Kickstarter thing is going to kickstart getting this thing made for...
What we're going to do is we're going to make proper CDs for everybody, whoever are pledged, right? There's all sorts of amounts that you can pledge. And how would you like to pledge and have us come to your house and play for a party and sign CDs for everybody at the party? Does that sound like fun?
Because you pledged to your Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Kickstarter has helped so many people, kids and environmental groups yeah. and musicians. It's an amazing.
We can thank Rachel, my daughter, for all this because yeah. she's the one that prompted us to really like go for it.
You know, yeah. I want to thank her for something else. She just donated to the KX Takeover to our show.
Oh, wow.
Do you not love that girl?
I mean, how do you donate to the show?
I we'll talk about it later. I got to thank a lot of people. Oh, look, somebody's live on the air that wants to talk to you.
Go to KX935.com and you can donate.
KX935, you're live on the air. KX935, you're live on the air. Well,
I'm
never mind. Oh, I'm so sorry. I think that was somebody for you, for sure. I bet it was your daughter. I just have no doubt about
She's
it.
She's on an airplane on her way to New York. It couldn't have been her.
Maybe she got with the pilot and said, I've got to call my dad right now. He's on the radio. All right, let's go to another song. What number?
What do you think, Ron? How about the first one? This is called The Outset. So can I just say something? Without anybody knowing anything, this is what we just started playing. Let's do this. Nobody knew what was going to happen.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Adam, hey, that's some fine playing going on. You brought in the boys from the Meeting, John Hughes and Stan, Ron Kobayashi, KX93.5 Radio. This sounds so good.
It really does. John, tell me a little bit about this one. This is an incredible collaboration.
Yeah, the bass player actually established the structure of the song, right? And Ron, I mean, he didn't have anything to do with that part of it, actually. Everything that Ron was doing was completely, totally inspired by what might have been happening behind him, right? So when he heard what was going on, it's just a bag of interpretation, right? Improvised interpretation. And I have to confess, since I'm the engineer, and I had all the music in front of me when I got home after we had recorded, I went back and I added or changed my parts to make it sound like we had an arrangement ahead of time, right? So I usually base that on what the bass player does, and I restructure my part, but not all of it, you know, just some of it, to make it sound like I knew what was going to happen ahead of time. So that's where we cheated a little bit. But actually, the flavor of the song and the flavor of the way we all play is very spontaneous. Yeah.
You said Ron throws in different styles in the same lick while he's going
on. Yeah, if you study music, like let's say you're a person that likes, like Ida May here, she likes country, right? And she's perpetuating that listening, flavor that she likes. But she hasn't listened to maybe a lot of jazz or maybe some other style of music, like, say, Latin funk, you know, or rock or whatever. It might be unfamiliar to her, right, when she first hears it. But if you, like, are an eclectic listener like I am, you know, I like everything as long as it's good, you know, right? But when you listen to Ron play, I can hear, like, little bits, you know, of all sorts of styles, you know, that have continuity when he plays, but they're all in the same solo, you know. So it's like, well, you know, I could hear that happening in Latin. I can hear that happening in blues. I could hear that happening in jazz. I could hear that happening in funk, you know. And he encapsulates that kind of, like, you know, ability, you know, to put that into, like, a two-minute solo, you know. So you hear this whole, you know, eclectic wash of music coming out, and some classical, too, which he's forgotten about.
But it's still there. And Ron, what happens to you when this music is coming at you, as John says, and you start in on your keyboard and you're improvising? What's being said to you around you with the other musicians? How do you do that?
Yeah, it's almost like more of a spiritual thing than an intellectual. So you just kind of let your mind free and play what you would hear over it, rather than intellectualizing, okay, they did this, so maybe this 16th note line would work over here. It's kind of hard to explain, but
you get into the
zone.
It's
kind of more emotional, and yeah.
It's a zone, really?
Kind of, yeah, yeah. Especially when it's improvised like that, because you really don't know where it's going to necessarily go, so you let, you know, emotion and spontaneity take over.
Now, do you get worn out if you're like tuning in and getting all these emotions coming out through your fingers and the keyboard? When you get done with a session, are you like just whooped, or are you excited? Does it make you stoked?
Excited, yeah.
How fun.
Yeah.
And what about finishing a song like this? I read once that Eric Clapton said he sort of plays, he's not sure where he's going to go, but he wants the end of the song to be obviously the end of the song, and it feels good to him. How do you do that?
Well, usually when I'm the band leader, which is not every time, but usually I prefer when the drummer ends the song, because he's the foundation of the music. So when he's, you know, looking at everybody and he cuts, he can either crash and do a sustaining thing, or he can chop it off, and it's up to the musicians to end with him. So it's an eye contact thing, really, for that kind of ending, yeah, an improvised ending. Usually I let the drummer end it.
Like a 5-minute drum roll?
anything the drummer wants to do, I don't care how he ends it. I just watch him, and then I stop the music when he stops. You know,
basically. Is that true with you, Ron? Is that your
absolutely? Yeah.
And John, how do you like leading the band? How do you like that role?
Well, I don't consider myself a leader with these four guys. I'm a band member, but a lot of times I am the leader because I might be the senior musician there. You know, I have the most experience. How do I like it? I like being part of a band more than like being the, you know, the token leader, yeah.
token leader.
Yeah, the only guy that's I prefer to be in a group rather than being a band leader. But I've done it all. I mean, I've toured with backup musicians. You know, I paid a salary. And if the band did really, 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 really well, I made the most money. If it did really, 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 really badly, I lost money, and they kept their salary. So it's a risk being the leader, you know.
So name your guys again. You've got bass is
Baba Elefante. Yeah. He's from Riverside at the moment, I think.
Yeah, Claremont.
And Ron, say your name correctly.
Ron Kobayashi in Orange.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, he's from Orange, California.
The keyboard which is only player, about, right, Ron?
Yeah.
Yes. Should I get that right? Okay.
I'm John Heusenstamm.
Oh, thanks, correct. John. Yeah, can you see why Adam is not pronouncing these names?
It doesn't matter because nobody can do it. So except for if you got a German knowledge or Austrian knowledge in your linguistics.
Hey, it's an international band.
It is an international band.
How about that?
Leo's going to hate me for this.
It's multicultural.
Uh-huh. The drummer.
Right here in the room.
The drummer, Leo Vigil, he's a Mexican.
Hey, there you go.
And what about Baba Elefante?
He's Italian. Yeah.
I mean, do you get more international than that?
This is very international. We just don't have anybody that has a dark complexion.
Well, you better get on that.
Yeah.
A percussionist.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the flags of the United Nations, right?
A sax player, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's go. All right, so let's go. Tell them where to go to Kickstarter, and then, John, you direct me on what you want to hear next.
Okay, Kickstarter, to find that, www.themeeting.la. And please, thank you very much for those that have already contributed.
Yeah,
and for those that haven't, 10 cents, $5, $10, it's more about awareness, you know, everybody knowing about what we're doing. If we had 100,000 people that all gave one penny, that would be better than just a handful of people giving us a lot of money. You know, we'd rather, you know, spread the word about our music.
No, and talk about organic.
Yeah.
I love this idea of fundraising. And I loved the KX Takeover because it was all community members and listeners supported.
We want to play this music, and if we can play at festivals and we can get paid for what we're doing, it's really a blessing. So
I see it in your future.
I hope good.
So. Okay, what number?
So some crazy guitar.
Yes.
Play a Spontaneous Combustion. What song is that? Is that number 9? Geez, I don't know. I can't think of the number. Oh, wait, I got
the numbers.
We
already did a 9, I think.
No, I got the numbers right here. Give me a second. And, okay. Ron, you can keep talking while I look.
You got to hear, John is technically one of the most amazing guitarists I've ever worked with. And you'll hear it on here. I mean, just technically from a guitar standpoint, he's amazing.
And he also gives lessons.
Well, and John teaches.
And that's big props coming from you.
Oh.
Don't you think, John? I mean, can you say thank you? Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Ron did something very strange one time. He was eating in a restaurant. I didn't know he was there. I walked in, and Ron stood up and goes, John Heusenstamm, the greatest jazz guitar player in Orange County. And then he sat down like that. I went, what the heck was that? But, I'm flattered. I mean, to get to compliments from people who I have a lot of respect for, it really means a lot to me. Thanks, Ron.
No, I see the respect in the room and the brotherly love and the musician pride. I do.
Play a track, track 6. Let's see what that sounds
like. Why did
like.
You call it track 6?
Because I can't think of the title of it right now. My printer wasn't working, so I couldn't print the list of the songs in front of me. And
that's
the CD
new and raw this is.
See, doesn't it tell you the title, the names of on your computer that you're printing this? Or, no, you're playing it on a machine that doesn't tell you the title names.
No, it's coming out of CD player.
Yeah, and this is new.
Yeah.
There's no...
There's blank.
Well, okay, track 6, here it comes.
Let's see what this sounds like.
John Heusenstamm, Ron Kobayashi at KX93.5. This is Radio Neighboring. Thank you.
this is Radio Neighborin' with Ida Mae and Tommy J. And let's see if I know how to do all this. And John Huesenstam and Ron
Kobayashi.
Yeah, that guy. He's pretty darn famous around these parts. Both of them are. I can't believe we have him live on the air. You know, that was a beautiful piece. In fact, you kind of got lost in it there for a minute, John.
Thanks.
And you threw things. So what do you want to play? I want to
play number 10. Number 10 is called the Way to Rio. Ron wrote the little line in there. Leo Vigil established the beat. The bass player found a line to play, and I just frickin' played my guitar from beginning to end.
Now tell me where this all takes place. Where do you have your meetings? The meeting.
The meeting meets at the meeting place called?
All over Orange County.
At your homes?
Recorded it all over.
Very good.
Yeah.
All over Orange County. Mm-hmm. This
happened. Yeah, we went to different places to record it. That's all you're going to get from me.
Okay, gosh. I've lost my big voice here. All righty.
Thank you.
name this song?
The Way to Rio.
How about that?
Ah. Yeah. That was... Rio is where we had the, you know, big sporting event recently.
Mm-hmm. So, well, which one was that?
So, John, if George Harrison said, "My guitar gently weeps," what does John Heusenstamm's guitar do?
Screams.
Yeah.
Well, there's one song entitled Spit the Fire Out, you know, and if I'm just sitting around, you know, my mind is constantly looking for a way to express itself, right? So the guitar for me is a way to channel that energy that I always am experiencing, and it keeps me balanced, so to speak, in my worldly life.
While my guitar spits the fire out.
Yeah, I have a lot of blues in me too, you know, solemn, you know, stuff, but I also have a lot of Latin.
A classic Spanish training?
Growing up in Los Angeles, come on. I mean, I've been to Mexico several times, and I love all that Latin music, whatever it is, you know. So there's a lot of ethnic qualities in the way I play. So, yeah, that's just what it is. It's a way to, you know, spit the fire out, you know.
And where are you doing the next gig to spit the fire out, Ron? What are you going to play next?
Well, I'm my trio's at a place called Les Amis in Fullerton, a restaurant that just started a jazz festival. The first Wednesday, so this Wednesday will be there. And I'm at Bayside in Newport Beach, up the Coast Highway, every Thursday and Friday.
Wow.
But I'm hoping this project will play live somewhere, so we got to make that happen.
Well, we'll get the word out, Adam.
That's what this Kickstarter thing is all about, to generate enthusiasm, to generate an actual commercial recording, to generate interest, to generate business.
And that's what we're here for. We're so happy to help you with that.
Oh, we really appreciate it. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Well, let's go out with what's your last song?
You pick one.
Honey.
They're all good.
You tell me which number. That's all I'm asking.
How about number six?
Number six. Thank you all so much for being on.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're really happy that we're here. Yeah.
And look up. I mean, they could just Google the meeting.
Yeah, one more time.
www.themeeting.la.
KX93.5. Radio Neighbor. Wow, Ida Mae, this has been a wonderful day of music and jazz. Over this Ron Kobayashi and John Heusenstamm song, we're going to have you talk about your KX takeover.
Well, you know, it really went well. I think every show went well. I don't know how much they raised. They won't tell me, but I know it's over 20, 30, I don't know, 50 grand. I have no idea. But I am so grateful to every show and everybody that took part in this, an amazing fundraiser.
For now, you've got a list of dozens of people that were helping you out, right? And rather than trying to read every name, you want to just shout out.
Tell them all we love them for supporting
us. We love you.
We do. We love you. And O'Brien Law Group for sitting in. And that was like herding grizzly bears. It was. It was hard. Their hour. Oh, my gosh. They were both on the phone answering emails. Anyway, thank y'all. You're listening to jazz. We've been genre jumping today. And stay tuned for South African Connection. Right,
and don't forget the Community Garden Park Spring Fling tomorrow, 3 to 6. Bring a little potluck plate. There's going to be live music. In fact, I'm going to go jam with Doc Law, John Ford, and Tony Bisson. We're going to be practicing for the garden band at the party.
I tell you, that garden band's building by the day. All right, y'all. Happy trails till we meet again.